RNZ National, and large swells are forecast for Wellington's south coast, building from Tuesday morning until Wednesday night, and waves could be as high as 6 metres. People living along the south coast of Wellington are encouraged to have a bag packed in case they need to evacuate their homes tomorrow. And joining me now with the details is Wellington Region Emergency Management's Jeremy Holmes. Kia ora, Jeremy.
Kia ora, good evening.
This is quite serious by the sound of it, having a bag packed to be prepared to evacuate tomorrow.
Yes, it is. And we're just being precautious, I guess, in light of what we've been told could potentially occur tomorrow night. We've seen these sorts of events happen before, and you know, last April was a good example, on the 15th of April last year, of the sorts of events that can happen. And we saw some inundation, particularly around Ophira Bay on the south coast. We've also had events back in 2013. We had a very large storm that hit the Wellington region as well, and a number of houses were inundated as well. So we're just encouraging people to, you know, be prepared, and particularly if they've got properties which were inundated during previous events, to be prepared to evacuate again if the situation warrants it.
So, Jeremy, can you give me exactly the geographic area of the south coast that will be affected?
Sure. So the areas that are affected are the Wellington south coast and also the south and east Wairarapa coast. So the Wellington south coast, we're talking about Ophira Bay, Island Bay, Houghton Bay, Lyle Bay, Moa Point, Reef, Flax, Eve and Breaker Bays, Seatoon and Kanaka Bay. And on the south and east Wairarapa coast, we're talking Ocean Beach to Palliser Bay, Lake Onoki, Lake Ferry, Te Kopi, Patarangi, Ngawi, Mangatoitoi, Cape Palliser, Riversdale, Castle Point, Whakataki, Matakona and Matakona Road. So quite a long stretch of the coastline with a number of communities along that area.
So what's causing these big waves?
So normally around this time of the year, we do sort of tend to see large swells occurring in the open ocean, and generally, they sort of, you know, they work their way, particularly up from the Southern Ocean, and they get a fair bit of momentum as they come up the coast. Last year was a bit of an anomaly with what occurred at Ophira Bay, in that it was a clear day and it was a sort of a random wave or series of waves that sort of came out of the blue, whereas what we're seeing now is quite a large depression, so we're actually seeing quite a large amount of movement, which has sort of coincided with the rough weather we've been seeing recently around the country as well. So it's a combination of air pressure, and also the conditions we tend to get this time of year, particularly with waves coming out from the Southern Ocean.
So those residents who live in those areas may be used to this, but they'll be very worried this evening that their property may be inundated tomorrow.
Yes, and I think most people have some idea as to whether their properties are, you know, likely to be inundated given previous events. These are the inherent risks of living on the coast. They may have fantastic views when there's weather's good, but there's a strong possibility of adverse weather and the impacts of adverse weather when the weather's bad. So I guess that's the trade-offs of living in these places. And so most people who live in those locations do have some idea of whether they're prone to some sort of inundation, given, you know, recent events that we've seen, you know, over the last sort of, you know, 5 or 10 years.
It's a precaution asking them to prepare to evacuate tomorrow. They don't have to, though, if they don't want to, do they?
Not at the moment. So what we're doing is we are monitoring the situation closely. We've got sort of three particular areas of focus that we're looking at. So it's the large swells are likely to coincide with three high tide occasions. The first one is tomorrow morning. And that's at approximately 8:30. There's another one tomorrow night at approximately 9 o'clock, and then the one the following morning at approximately 9:22. So we'll be looking at the situation tomorrow morning to assess how the impact was relative to the modelling that we've predicted, and then using that to help inform the subsequent decisions and the messaging that we put out regarding tomorrow night and the following morning. And the key thing to note is that tomorrow morning's event is likely to be the lesser of the three impacts, and we'll be using that to determine the extent of action that we'd like people to take after that.
Right, so the preparation that's underway now is this modelling of the 6 metre high waves arriving at three different times with the tide.
That's right, that's correct.
And will Wellington Airport be affected?
The modelling suggests that, based on what we've seen previously, particularly around the 2013 storm, the southern end of the Wellington airport may be affected, yes.
What will that mean for flights?
Well, that's what, we'll be looking very closely to see what impacts. We know that the 2013 event flights were affected. A number of flights were stopped for a period of time whilst they checked the runways. And it's quite likely that we may see some inundation again with large waves impacting that southern end of the airport. But again, they are accustomed to those sort of things occurring periodically, sort of particularly this time of year. And we'll be watching very closely to see what impact that actually has.
And Jeremy, into Ireland, sailings for tomorrow have been cancelled, and Wednesday cancellations are also likely.
Yes, and I think that's just a precaution to take in light of what we're seeing. We know that the 2013 storms in particular, what occurred then, were quite disruptive to a whole lot of people from a travelling point of view, both flying and also those on the ferries. And rather than take unnecessary risks, I think it's a prudent move given what we know at the moment.
Yes, this is April last year when this happened, when those big waves slammed the south coastline at Afero Bay, and footpaths were lifted right up, weren't they? And there was some really big damage to properties.
Yeah, there was a fair bit of damage to properties. Most of it, however, was essentially debris that was thrown up by the waves onto the roads. There were, I think, between 3 or 5 properties that did receive some damage, either through some inundation that came into garages, or I think one property also had some water into the house itself. But quite often it's actually the debris that is picked up in the waves that actually causes the damage. And, that's the sort of the things that we're encouraging people to, where they possibly can, remove as much as possible. So we're encouraging people to remove any obstacles that could potentially be used as obstacles during the course of the event. So, for example, if you've got any loose property around your premises or between you and the beach, if you're on those coastal properties, if you've got vehicles or cars, we encourage you also sort of park them somewhere different so they don't become pummeled by the debris or alternatively become obstacles themselves. And also encourage people to essentially stay out of the water and away from the coast while these events are happening. The last thing we want is people going down to take photographs or something like that and then finding they've actually been caught up in the event and putting themselves at risk and others potentially.
Given it's this time of night now and you're talking about 8 a.m. being the first high tide, when you've modelled that there may not be the 6 metre waves tomorrow morning, should people be leaving their properties now and just as a precaution?
Not at the moment, based on the modelling we've got. All the modelling that we've received so far suggests that tomorrow morning is likely to be no more than what we saw during the event at Afero Bay last year, and it's likely to be less than that. So that was, as I said, mainly debris and a little bit of inundation about one or two properties, and those individuals know exactly where the properties are. So we're not so concerned about that at this stage, but we will be using that result tomorrow to determine the modelling going forward and just how accurate that is to inform any decisions that we have tomorrow night and the following morning.
And luckily, well, not luckily, but not the right word, but Wellington at level 2 will mean that quite a few people will be staying home anyway. They'll be able to keep an eye on it.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's one advantage in terms of people are able to look out for their properties and be able to potentially prevent any damage to their properties, whether it be through things like sandbagging, if they know, for example, their properties could be inundated or have a history of that, whether it's removing obstacles or things that could potentially become items to cause damage. So staying at home could be a good thing. That said, as we've sort of indicated in the advice that we've put out earlier this afternoon, if they do have a property which is prone to storm damage or they do have concerns, they would encourage them to look at finding alternative accommodation with friends and family from tomorrow afternoon through to Wednesday afternoon, whilst the worst of these storm impacts are likely to be felt.
And for more information, where can people go?
So they can get more information through the REMO Facebook page, or alternatively the Met Service Twitter and Facebook feed as well. So both of those are providing up-to-date information, or alternatively they can get further information from their local council as well. So it's at REMO NZ is the Facebook one, and the Met Service is at Met Service.
So, Jeremy, I'll just spell that out. It's WREMO.NZ. And all the current status is up there and advice for citizens. So thanks very much for taking us through that and good luck tomorrow. What's your preparation for tonight?
Well, at the moment, staff are essentially preparing for tomorrow, taking a little bit of time with their families because they expect from tomorrow morning it's going to be a busy morning and a long night tomorrow night. We've got staff going back into the office early tomorrow morning to start seeing the impacts as and when those waves are starting to be felt, and then we'll be monitoring the situation all the way through until Wednesday. So yeah, it's probably going to be a long 24, 48 hours.
Oh, take care. Thanks for joining us.
No problems. Thanks very much.